This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
I have great personal admiration for my guest now, Alan Swerdlow. I was already a groupie when he hosted a slot in SAFM's Arts Editor, where I tuned in for his film reviews. He's, of course, a renowned stage, television and film actor, director, radio presenter and theatre reviewer with a string of award-winning productions to his name. He is currently the director of Agatha Christie's play Black Coffee, showing at the Peter Turin Theatre at Monte Cassino, which runs until the 1st of June. Alan, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Alan, let's start with Agatha Christie, Dame Agatha Christie. What is the allure so many years later?
I think it's because she told a cracking good story. Everybody loves a mystery. People love a crime. I mean, she's become the epitome of what's referred to today in literature as cozy crime, because it tended for the most part to take place in small little villages, in small communities, in isolated houses. So there was this element of coziness to it all. And you know, the murderer will be uncovered by the end of the piece. You know that justice will be seen to be done if it's one of her courtroom dramas. It's a very comfortable experience, I think. But having said that, it does not mean that comfortable is boring. This particular play, when I started doing my research and preparation, I was absolutely blown away to discover that Agatha Christie in 1928, and this was the first play that she herself wrote. The previous adaptations had been done by other people from her novels. So with this particular one, she sat down, she wasn't particularly happy with the adaptations, and she decided she was going to do the adaptation herself. But she talks in 1928 about the dangers of a potential atomic weapon. So I did a little more digging because I thought, no, this is absolutely intriguing that she comes down very, very anti in the piece. I started digging around and I'm almost 100% convinced that she attended one of the lectures that were being given by Ernest Rutherford, who was heading up the laboratory at Cambridge University, and he was the first guy to really start exploring the potentials of nuclear fission. And also the potential of unlocking all of that energy to another use. That Agatha Christie listened to that lecture, I think, and went home and said, but what if it is used for the wrong purpose? Not for the good of mankind, but against mankind. And so she makes that central to this particular play. And then, having done quite a few Agatha Christie's over the years, I started thinking about it. And in actual fact, most of the later dramas where she starts to explore psychological characters, you know, she tries to make them three-dimensional, understand why they behave like they do, and tries to find the reason for them going off the rails, if indeed they have. Those plays all have a core of something very solid and very real and very true at its heart. But then she makes the whole thing enormously entertaining.
And that is the attraction. And Black Coffee specifically seems to have grabbed the attention of kind of different media.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Everybody, I think this particular production, it hasn't been done in South Africa for over 40 years. And I think there are a number of reasons. One, it's an Hercule Poirot mystery, and everybody loves Hercule Poirot as a character, this Belgian detective with this very strange way of approaching his detecting. And he's a foreigner, and he's an outsider. She was very concerned with the whole notion. There are references all the way in the play to this person being a foreigner, not like us, all of that. She was commenting, I think, quite strongly on the xenophobic tendencies of British society. And that somehow has a little reference in South Africa today, where there is a core of xenophobia that exists in our country for various reasons, but it's there. And people just have leapt at this one. I think they like to see a good, solid, I hesitate to use the word old-fashioned drama, but yeah, maybe it is, stylistically.
I've read the reviews. It's been in Cape Town for quite a run, and it's here for a long time, and we'll come back to that. But like, for example, how do you think it differs, the response to this, to Witness for the Prosecution, which I think you were involved in and directed as well?
I directed that as well, yes.
What do you think the difference is?
Well, Witness for the Prosecution is one of her really later plays. She wrote it just at the beginning of the 50s. And it was post-war, and in comparison to this, which is way pre-war, I've moved it up. I've pushed it up from 1928, when she wrote the play, to 1938, just before the Second World War, because of all those pressures, because there was a lot of spying and espionage going on, because there was the fear of what's coming next, and will there be another world war, and things like that. So, I pushed it in there. The comparison, Witness is a classic courtroom drama.
Yeah.
And people just love a courtroom drama. I also think that Witness was her best play that she ever wrote, because that's for the first time she really got the psychology right in terms of all of the characters. They all are damaged individuals in a certain way and behave in a certain way. Black Coffee, coming on the heels of that, I think, it was a tradition with Peter Turin that he used to, for a long time before it became way too expensive to mount these productions, because they've got big casts and, a massive set or numerous sets, things like that. It just sort of, he stopped doing them. But a Christie for Christmas, as it was known, always done at the end of the year, it was hugely popular, hugely popular. And I think a lot of people are going, oh, it's back. That's great. And that's why they're responding so positively. Yet, I watch the audiences when I go in and check in on the play. I look at the audience. And the wonderful thing that is happening now, and it's been growing post-COVID, is that we are getting this incredibly diverse audience. And particularly, we're getting a lot of young people. They've discovered the joy of theatre, and they've discovered the joy of a good whodunit. And I think that's why they're coming.
And the need for escapism, that need just to escape, to put that, social media away for an hour and a half, whatever it is. The play has been running, has quite a lengthy run. Mm-hmm. It's been in Cape Town. Reception in Cape Town?
Unbelievable. We were sold out from first performance to the final performance. People were fighting each other in the foyers for tickets. So we're hoping the same will happen here in Joburg.
You've just opened, and you are running until the 1st of June.
No, we've put in an extra, because the demand is so high, we've put in an extra week, so we're going until the 8th.
Can I ask you, because so many shows are one night, two nights, three nights a week maximum, what has it been like to have such a long run?
For me personally, very satisfying. For the cast, I think equally satisfying, because they don't often get the chance to do a lengthy run these days. Before, I mean, you know, I don't want to sound like a wenwee, but in the old days, you know, productions could run plays, and this was pre-television and pre-streaming, you know, media streaming and being able to sit and watch the greatest movies on your own TV set. This was way before then, but plays could run for 9 months, a year. Sometimes, if they were really huge hits, they would run for 2 years. There was a stage, people have forgotten this, Johannesburg was considered the fourth theater capital of the world in terms of the number of theaters and the size of the population.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was London, New York, Paris, Johannesburg, believe it or not.
Wow, that is impressive.
There was a point when there were 18 proper, legitimate theatres operating in Johannesburg.
How many would you say there are now?
Okay, there's three at Monty. There's Daphne Koons Theatre. There is, I think there are about eight fully functioning, fully professional theatres in Johannesburg at the moment.
And just from your personal experience, do you have like a soft spot for any one of them?
In terms of the theatres?
Yeah. Where do you like working? Where do you feel most at home? Or is that an unfair question?
No, I've worked all over the place. I mean, I've worked in most theatres in South Africa. There are very few that I haven't worked in. My favourite theatre is actually one that's not used anymore.
And that is the?
The Alex.
Okay.
The Alexandra Theatre that was named for Muriel Alexander, who was one of the greats of making theatre professional in South Africa, and of course, big Jewish component to that. When she started the South African Reps Theatre, the Johannesburg Repertory Theatre Group, which eventually got its own theatre, which was the Alexander Theatre. She used to use virtually an entirely Jewish cast in most of her productions. Well, she'd started in Yiddish theatre, so. But what I loved about the Alexander Theatre was, and also designed by one of the great Jewish South African architects, Manfred Hermer. The balance, there was something magical that happened in that theatre because the relationship between the audience and the cast was seamless. It was unbroken. You never felt that you were watching at a distance. You were involved completely in the action. It sometimes happens with theatres. You can't work it out, but there was something magic that happened in that theatre. The audience was immediately sucked in, I suppose, to the piece itself, and they felt they were eavesdropping almost. And yeah, and you didn't have to. The acoustics were good. You didn't have to work so hard to be heard. You could see everything. The sight lines were great, and it was just the dressing rooms were comfortable, things like that. So yeah, I've still got a big soft spot for the Alex.
Okay, let's go back to Black Coffee. Of course, Alan Committee, who's been a guest on the show many times, is your main character. What's that been like?
Oh, it's been an absolute joy. It really has. I've directed Alan quite a number of times in different plays. We've done farces together. We've done a couple of serious bits. This one, just seeing how Alan's matured wonderfully as an actor. You know, we think of him as a stand-up comedian. The stand-up comedy came later, in actual fact. He trained as an actor. He was at UCT Drama School. He began his career working as a jobbing actor. But this one, I sat him down and I said, Alan, this is your chance to completely go for it. I don't want to see any Alan committee at all. And there is none. He has created, so many people are saying now that he is the best Poirot they've ever seen. And it is. It's a total performance. It's a gentle performance. It is nuanced and subtle and focused. And yeah, he's doing a wonderful job. I'm crazy about his performance.
And tell me, in terms of directing, because it's quite a large cast. Mm-hmm. There's a lot happening on stage. There's a lot happening, I imagine, behind stage. What is it like to direct something like that?
You have to be prepared. You have to have your eye on everything. I've got a bit of a reputation for detailed work and making sure the details are right, whether it is the set, whether it is the props that are used, the costumes, things like that. So this one was, you know, and witness for the prosecution, they both just meant I couldn't drop the ball. I had to be aware and looking at everything. It was a lot of hard work, but it was a lot of fun. The interesting thing about the Christies, and this I've noticed over the years, all the Christies I've done, for some reason, the cast always meld together as a family. They really just become a unit. They get on so well. I've never had any problems, you know, in a Christie with the cast, because they know exactly what they've got to do, and they're having fun doing it. And they're having fun with the audience. And it's a good time for everybody, not just the audience. It's everybody's having a good time on it. And, yeah.
Maybe that is what it reflects to the audience as well.
I think so. I think they know. You can feel sometimes when there are tensions among the cast members. And, at the very least, that there isn't that spark between them.
Yes.
When you go and see something. And yeah, they come into this and they know that it's just everybody's having a good time. But I have to keep a beady eye all the time. And it was a lot of work, hard work. I was really working on this one round the clock. I started prepping it October last year.
Wow.
In terms of thinking of the set, the costumes, working with the other creatives, Dennis Hutchinson on lighting, Sarah Roberts on costumes, props and set. And yeah, we started then already putting it together.
And transferring it from Cajun to Joburg, seamless?
Yeah, but under a lot of pressure and time. It was a case of, you know, and the same thing, taking it down to Cape Town, because we rehearsed in Johannesburg, and the cast only got onto the set for the first time in Cape Town. So it was incredibly pressured then to get it all done and ready for the first audience. And the same thing up here. So for 3 days, everybody, we just didn't sleep, you know. But it paid off. It did pay off.
So my final question, details, booking tickets, how long, what you can expect?
Right. Tickets can be obtained through web ticket, or you can phone the theatre and speak to the wonderful Geraldine, and she will sort you out completely. We run now until the 8th of June. So there is a chance, because the plans really are filling up very rapidly.
Quick, yeah.
So if you want to see this one, just be quick.
And I understand that we all really do want to see it. So I look forward to it. I'm not telling you when I'm coming, but I am coming.
Great.
Thank you so much for joining me. That is Alan Swerdler, the director of Black Coffee, the Agatha Christie, currently on at the Peter Turin Theatre.